Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Finished? Okay. Well, kids, you can be seated. That seems to be an appropriate thing to do. Well, it was a good weekend for us. Patty and I were with in San Antonio, Bob and Don, and with Dr. Savelle, and celebrating his 45th anniversary in ministry. And we just had an awesome time. I don't know, about 100 of us, I suppose. And they met this year, not in Dallas, but in San Antonio. And I don't know that they knew it, but it was festival week in San Antonio. That means 18 days of party hardy. I've never seen so many people. It was just amazing. I mean, they have parade after parade after parade, and every float has a queen. It is Mardi Gras, San Antonio style. There was a good family atmosphere, though, and it was really awesome. Praise God. Well, why don't the three of you come up if you have something to share about this weekend. The four of us are on the president's cabinet, and what that means is Dr. Savelle has a gathering of folks. Patty, would you get the microphone there? Has a gathering of folks over the years who participate in their missions, in their missions giving. And Patty and I, though, we give personally to the Savelles. Really, any award we get is yours because that's part of it. And, of course, the Colts are on there because they're givers to that ministry in such a measure that they're allowed to be a part of that. So just a great blessing, though, to be in an intimate gathering with Dr. Savelle. And so, you why don't we start with the Colts? Patty, give them a microphone. And oh, preach out of your heart, man. Yeah. Come on.
Well, yeah. You know, it's true. If you want to be successful, you need to be around successful people. And the Savelle family, they're successful people.
Yeah.
And something that impressed me is just to see how this has been passed down. I mean, Terry Savelle Foy is so successful, and she's all about getting a vision, getting a dream, and writing it down and doing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that got passed down to her from her father. She shared a very emotional but powerful testimony of her dad being like Jesus, and how he used to say, "Don't worry, Daddy's got it covered. Daddy's got it under control," and just the comfort that gave to her as she was growing up. And, you know, that was passed down to Jerry Savelle from Kenneth Copeland. And I was just thinking about that this morning. It all goes back to Jesus. I mean, he was the successful one. He's the one that was in the garden and faced a greater temptation than any of us could ever possibly face. And he was faithful, to his Father.
Yes.
And if you want to be successful, get around successful people. And it doesn't happen by accident. I mean, they were sharing how their success is because they believe the word that the Lord shares with them. They write it down, and they say it every day. And they just keep after it and after it. And just one example I'll share of that kind of success. The Chariots of Light had a goal for, I believe it was last year, of 5,000 yeah. souls to be saved. And the number that were saved was over 10,000.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
One of the words that came out, there was just so much, was that God is wanting to do big things, and he's in a big hurry to do it. And what I heard throughout the time was that things are accelerating. And if you have dreams in your life, God wants to bring them about now, we're not waiting anymore for these things. It's not going to be, well, when I have enough money to do this. It's not going to be, well, when my kids are out of the house, or whatever excuses you have. God wants those dreams to come to pass now. And he said something that was just, he talked about his cars and his garage, and he sits in the middle and surveys his kingdom. And he said, I'm living in my dream now. And that's what God wants for us. Amen. He wants us to be living in our dreams now. And that, you know, I thought, man, I got a lot to go. I mean, I got to get going here, because he wants to accelerate those things in our lives. Because the kingdom is waiting for us. One of the other things that touched me was that he said, he shared a story about Jesse Duplantis. He had his sights set on a particular plane to buy, and unbeknownst to him, Jesse Duplantis had bought that exact plane. And Jesse called him and he said, I hope, don't be mad. And he said, but I bought that plane. He said, why would I be mad?
That's right.
God bless you. I mean, go for it, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said he was a barrier breaker. And he said, I need barrier breakers. And I thought, I do too. I need to. And he said, if you want to have barriers broken, you got to hang around people who are going to do that. Who are going to be those barrier breakers. Don't be jealous because they got what you want. I think there's enough to go around, guys. I really do. There's not just one of those planes. There's a lot of them out there, you know, and there's probably one around for every one of us. And I thought, you know, not only do I need barrier breakers for the things that I have need of, I need to be a barrier breaker for the things that you have need of as well. So when someone gets something that you wanted, rejoice. That's your barrier breaker. That's the insurance as you believe the Lord that he's going to get that to you.
Amen. Praise God. That's good. Awesome. You guys can be seated if you want. Yeah. Awesome.
So one of the main things that Brother Jerry was sharing was that we may think our dreams have been impossible, but they're not. You know that Ecclesiastes 5:13 says, dreams come to pass through much labor, through much effort. And we know that we've been working for years and years and laboring in the kingdom. But he said, don't let go of your dreams. You know, that God didn't put those dreams in your heart for them not to come to pass. So they're meant to come to pass. And so, you know, he played the song to dream the impossible dream, and that's how he started it out. And so, you know, church, we just don't give up on our dreams. God's got so much in store for us. You know, we just have to still be willing to invest the effort. We've invested a lot of effort, but, you know, now's not the time to quit. We don't know how close we are to breakthroughs right now. And one thing he did say as well was, you know, I've heard Jerry, Pastor Jerry say, your better days are yet to come. He said God woke him up in the middle of the night and said, tell them your better days are here now. So we're in it right now, everybody. We're in our better days. This is it. And we were given the word, this is the year of the greater. And God is right now ready to pour out his goodness in a greater level than ever before. So just get ready, because it's now. It is now. The greater is now. You know, the new things that we've heard about, the breakthroughs, they're now. And I just want to reiterate just quickly that barrier breaking, you know, that's one of the reasons we go there. It's not that we have to be around, you know, well-known people of God. No, it's because we want to be around barrier breakers. Because he breaks those barriers in their lives, and then guess what? Because we're associated and partners with them, then that means the barriers are going to be broken in our lives as well. So are you ready to receive barriers broken? It's now. It is now. So one thing I don't know if you can do that declaration.
You do whatever.
We've already been saying this is my year for the greater, but now we need to start saying our better days are here.
Our better days are here. My better days are here.
So let's declare, this is my year for the greater.
This is my year for the greater.
And my better days are
and
here.
My better days are here.
Amen.
Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again, Patty.
We're doing it again. This is my year for the greater.
This is my year for the greater.
And my better days are here.
My better days are here.
Let's do it one more time. This is my year for the greater.
This is my year for the greater.
And my better days are here.
My better days are here.
Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a clap. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Don and Bob. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, it is good to be with people of faith. And I've said this for years, and people don't believe me often. So I look at some of the empty seats, and I think, man, they didn't believe me. You know, the sun didn't come out. People don't come to church. That's bizarre. It's bizarre. At any rate, can you imagine when they really have a storm cloud in their lives? God bless them. Here's the word of the Lord from Brother Jerry for 2014. Never stop celebrating what I've already done. I'm going to do something I rarely ever do. I don't want that thing empty. Would you guys all move into the middle? I'm sorry. I'm not going to preach to a church of empty chairs in the middle. Yeah, come on. This side, you guys come over here. Yeah, I know you can't all get in the middle, and that's fine, but you just also scattered today that I don't want to do that. Yeah, some of you will have to sit on this side over here, and that's fine. You know, I learned something. This is my 38th year in ministry. And, you know, I've learned a few things. And one of those things is this, and I've always called it the wilderness syndrome. But whenever you have a great victory, there is then some stuff to happen. The children of Israel had an amazing deliverance. God literally parted the Red Sea after he stripped Egypt of all of its money. He did. He stripped Egypt. Every child of Israel who left Egypt was healthy. There were none of these walkers. Not one walker. They all left healthy and wealthy. And they saw miracles that have yet to be seen, although when I read the scripture, it said that God's going to revisit those miracles in the earth. I don't know how he's going to do that, but what's getting ready to happen in the earth is going to make those miracles pale. And when they came to the Red Sea, of course, God then got rid of the entire Egyptian army in a moment. Well, it took overnight, but once the Egyptians started and started to chase them, then it was over. And immediately, the children of Israel began to whine and complain and said, "Why'd you bring us out here to kill us?" And listen, guys, just to revisit this year, would you guys put up on the banner with Long's Peak there, Hebrews 9? Let's just say this out loud. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come. Now say this: Jesus has become my high priest of good things to come. Jesus has become my high priest of good things to come. And you know, this was the word of the Lord to us. And while Brother Jerry was getting this word, I'm going to read to you. We're getting this word. We're also getting Psalm 21:3. And I want that verse, I want to put that up if you would. And somehow you need to make a banner of this, because the word "meet him" is not just, to us it means meet. Oh, hi, good to meet you. Or hey, let's go meet for coffee. That's not what it means. It means he will surprise us with blessings of goodness. That's a different thing. Totally different thing. And so I don't want us to go the rest of the year just saying, "For you will meet him with the blessings of goodness." That's enough. But he says, "I'm going to surprise you with the blessings of goodness." So we need to say that. The Lord is meeting me with, the Lord is surprising me with blessings of goodness. And so we need to get that in our heart that he's got, I mean, you know, it's one thing when I do this, I go, "Man, I got to meet so-and-so for lunch." As excited as I am to see all of you. But if I know, that I'm going to meet somebody who has a surprise waiting for me, and they are able, I tell you, there's an expectancy that begins to rise in me, you see. And we need to raise our expectancy. One of the things about Dr. Savelle is this. Pastor John Hagee calls him the Apostle of Hope. And you know, it's really true. And Dr. Savelle, he has a way of bringing people's hopes. And of course, people accuse him of getting people's hopes too high. Let's see, we serve a God of the impossible made possible. How can I get your hopes too high? But at any rate, you know how people are. It's the story of the lobsters or crabs in a pot. One starts to get out, and as soon as one starts to crawl out, the others pull him down. And that's what people do. They don't want anybody who's got any hope because they want everybody on their level. And I tell you what, I just learned so long ago that I want to be around men and women like that. And so God was really gracious to us and opened that door. Matter of fact, I think of the Copelands inviting us to participate with them. They could have chosen churches all up and down the Front Range. They chose us. That is the favor of God, and that is this. He surprised us with the blessings of goodness. Now turn to Psalm, was it 44:3 or 41:3? 44:3, and that's another verse that we've been declaring this year. "For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but it was your hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, because you did a favor for them." And I told you at the beginning of the year, that will be a title deed for some of you to get your own houses. It'll be a title deed for some of you to get a blessing of the Lord. That verse will do it if you'll take hold of it and believe God for it. That'll be the title verse for you to get your healing if you believe it. If you don't believe it, well, you won't. It'll be done unto you according to your faith. I remember years ago, matter of fact, this kind of popped out of my Bible today. It's in there. It's amazing what pops out of Bibles, you know. And this was a verse that the Lord gave me years before this. And it's interesting today as we're talking about Dr. Savelle, because I gave him this word down in Pueblo when we were down there with the Chariots of Light a number of years ago. I don't know, 5 years ago, whenever that was. And this is so good. Patty and I had just bought this dumb dog. Told the kids, "When you get in the country, we'll buy you a dog." And so we did, and it was this monster dog. I mean, it was a puppy, and it was like this. It wasn't that big. No, really. It was a Malamute, and it was this huge Malamute. I mean, and that was when, you know, I fell out of the rafters and cracked my sternum, and then I was preaching and the presence of God fell on me and I started laughing. Have you ever laughed with a cracked rib and stuff like that? It's a worse thing, but out of that God healed me, but it sure hurts. But that's when this all happened. And so that dog was just so strong, I couldn't control it. But that was a dumb dog. Thank God he delivered us from the dog and I didn't lose any money. The people who actually came and bought it and took it to Alaska, good riddance. But, you know, that dog, we had ducks at the time, too, and chickens. And, you know, chickens and ducks are just really messy. Yeah. And they leave little presents everywhere. And they left all these little presents over this rug. And the dog, because of the little presents, decided to eat the rug. Or a blanket or something. And, you know, if you ate a blanket, it would plug you up. And so this dog got plugged up, and we had just had, listen, we had just had a financial miracle. We'd had a lot of money, and it had been canceled. It was really great. It was awesome. And so now the vet calls and says, well, we're going to have to operate on your dumb, he didn't say dumb dog, but he said on your dog, and it's going to cost all this money. And I was sitting there going, oh. And we were sitting on the edge of our bed, you know, and I was complaining, and Patty was complaining, and I'm, oh, God, you know, oh, we just had a financial miracle. We just came through the Red Sea, and then here was this test, you know. Oh, God, and so I began to prophesy. Surprised me. And the Lord said this, I've got more money than the devil ever thought of stealing. I'm not kidding you now. Patty's my wife will verify. Will you verify this? The phone rang. It was the vet, and he said, everything came out okay. Woo, no operation. We went, yeah. You know? It was going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a stupid dog. I have a friend who says, well, the best solution for euthanizing an animal is a 25-cent solution. I go, no, but I couldn't do that, you know. But the point was, God's got more money than the devil ever thought of stealing. I don't know what you're facing today, but God's got more money than the devil ever thought of stealing. Now, what's that got to do with all this? Well, it's just like this. We have a great breakthrough. See, isn't it amazing, guys? There aren't dozens of us in the room, but we can say we've seen dozens of people saved in the last 2 weeks. So no wonder we got the whole middle section empty today. It's called After the Red Sea. So don't be discouraged by this. Because Matthew is literally right. It is a numbers game. Actually, they asked us, Copeland's called and said, not the Copeland's themselves, but the ministry called and said, okay, we have 50-some decision cards that came, and then, of course, you guys have been winning a lot of people to the Lord. But they said, check the video out and see what you can see and see if you can. And at that point, we had over 80, and they didn't come forward. So we could be well over 100 now. The last outreach we did last Saturday, not yesterday, but last Saturday, we had over 14 come to Christ. And so, guys, it is literally a matter of numbers because those numbers matter to the Lord. And they are people. It's like the little story of the boy on the beach at low tide and all the starfish were out. And he was throwing them back one at a time. And the guy says, you can't save them all. And he said, but it matters to that one. And it matters to that one. I tell you what, guys, it isn't. If it were my son or my daughter, it would mean something. You see, if it were my salvation, that number means something. And so that's why numbers are important. And you know, the Lord has called us over the years, and that is that's our driving goal, souls from every nation, one at a time. And one of the things that Dr. Savelle said, actually it was Terry, but he said it, and she stole his notes. Okay. And, you know, he said this, Terry said this, that your dream, it's who you are, what defines you. And it's that thing that stirs you. It's that thing. And I've wrestled with some of this stuff for years. Some of you know that, but the vision of this ministry is souls from every nation, one at a time. And the Lord's changing some things. I believe that we're in line for a building. Yeah. But you need to understand. See, because when I explain this to people, I've quit talking to pastors about this. They don't get it. I don't expect them to get it. men of God and women of God don't get it. But it was a divine test and intercession for us to go years and years and years without a building. The Lord required us as an intercessory ministry to be without a building so we could stay with Jesus as his intercession without the building. It gained us a place of power in prayer before the throne. So as I was thinking about that, because, I mean, when you're around guys like Dr. Savelle, man, you know, I think he's got about 10 motorcycles and who knows how many cars he's got. I mean, you know. Well, listen, I was with him one summer for a week, and I think he gave away 3 motorcycles in a week. You know, not... These were the $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 kind. So he just built himself a brand new. See, that's how we think. Somebody just said trailer. No, he just built himself a brand new garage that Carolyn calls a museum. So, see, around people like that, you tend to go, no, listen, friends, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Because, you see, if I've compared myself to Dr. Savelle, what happens is you find out how weak you are, how this and how that you are and this other thing. But, see, my calling, and matter of fact, Dr. Savelle said this to me last year. I was kind of commiserating. I said, oh, man, I get around you and I just kind of, he said, Mark, you reach the ones God's called you to reach. I'll reach the ones God's called me to. And you know, that's the way it works. Yeah. And the thing is, we hooked up with that ministry 20 years ago because I wanted Africa. And you know what they're doing? They're reaching Africa. So we stand in our calling. They stand in their calling. We got to get this, guys. And so don't let even other churches intimidate you about their buildings. I would rather, now, what I'm about ready to say, I don't want you to misunderstand. And if you out here and tell anybody this, you're wrong. For this pastor to have a building, and I don't know who this pastor is, but for that pastor to have a building, that's God's call.
Yeah.
And had we gone after a building 20 years ago, I would have been out of the will of God. Because... And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, years ago I was complaining to the Lord. I was crying, and I was. I do a lot of crying. Does anybody cry? Oh God! But I do all the time. And so I was. I can take you to the place in the mountains where I was at. I can take you to that rock. It was like you know, Abraham and his. And I was there crying to God, Lord. I've got more seniority than any pastor in the area, with the exception of maybe one, and he's in Boulder, so it doesn't count. And I was pastoring before him, but I was an assistant. You know what I'm saying? So I said, Lord, and without our own building, they'll always consider me illegitimate. And this is, guys, this is how the church thinks. This is how the world thinks. And the Spirit of God spoke to me so clearly. That's what they thought of Jesus. And so, guys, what has happened over these years? You are the faithful ones. I've had people mad at me and leave because we don't have a building. I've had people tell me, you don't have enough vision. I'm thinking, souls from every nation. I have. I thought, brother, you haven't heard me. Oh, I get it. I get it. You don't want to pay the price in intercession. Now, not you. You're right there. You really are, Christina. So, okay, I need an empty chair. You don't want to pay the price in prayer. You don't want to be numbered with one called illegitimate. He's the only one who's got legitimate right to this world anyway. Glory to God. So, man, I don't know how I was going to get all that out. I didn't have any idea where I was going. Praise God. Now listen to this one. So here's this other word. The Lord says, I've got more than the devil ever thought of stealing. And then he said, I've got more provision than any man will ever be able to lay hold of. No man will be ever able to take hold or contain his rightful portion. The Lord says, therefore, come up higher. Let me read this word from Dr. Savelle. Excuse me, from the Lord through Dr. Savelle for us for 2014. He says, never stop celebrating what I've already done. Now expect me to do the greater, and it will come. 2014 will be known as the year of the greater. I'm ready, says the Lord, to do a new thing, the likes of which you've never seen. My glory shall come in such a way that you'll stand in awe and begin to say, my God, I never knew that I would get to see this side of you. Such splendor, such power and magnificence too, no wonder the earth will bow down to you. The prophet said these things would come to pass, and now they're here at last, at last. The greater glory they spoke about, we're in it now. Let's shout, let's shout. A new wave of his glory is what we shall see, what shall be seen, for this is his plan for 2014. Oh, our God is taking us to a brand new place, and soon we'll see him face to face. See, friends, I believe that time is accelerating. We've talked about this. It seems that there's an acceleration. It's not because I'm growing older. It's because I think time is accelerating. And, of course, we have no way to prove that except by just that knowing of the Spirit. But if the prophetic words that have been released in the earth today are an indicator, and God is sweeping the world, we know he's sweeping China and Asia with the gospel. Matter of fact, the Chinese don't know what to do with the Christians. There are so many of them. And it's happening in South America. It's sweeping Africa. It appears that Western Europe and America are the last bastions of this godless, hateful atheism and secular humanism, but all of that's about ready to fall as well, because if the prophetic word is right, God is going to wrap this thing up by a final revival in Europe and America. That's what it appears to be. I think of our Chinese brothers whose battle cry is this: back to Jerusalem. They know that they are at the end time, and they know the gospel must go to the ends of the world, and their cry is that we're going to bring it back to Jerusalem to bring Jesus back. That's what the church in China is saying. We're seeing Muslims come to Christ by the thousands. The last count I had was 17,000 a day is the rough estimate of Muslims coming to Christ today. I wish I could give a report like you guys from going from Greeley or at Starbucks. But we were in some barbecue place down there on the Riverwalk, and we had a Muslim waiter. And so I kind of broke the ice by saying, how does a Muslim serve pork? Because it was really good pork. And that really opened a floodgate. And I think, you know, Bob, he injected one of the verses. And then Patty injected another one, and I got one in there. And then Dawn's got a book she's going to send him. We got his address. So we believe he's coming to the Lord. But we were sitting at lunch one day, and we grabbed the waiter's hand and said, pray with us. He did. We just prayed right there over our meal. Well, my point is this. It seems, I mean, for years, now see, I believe what Riley said is right. I believe that, you know, the fields are white into harvest. I also know there's a timing of God. And what I see happening is it is as if we have there is a shift in the spirit. Because I tell you what, there have been times it's hard. I mean, over the years, don't raise your hands, but how many of you have asked people and come to church and do this and do that? I tell you what, no, it's nothing. America is post-Christian. We're not Christian anymore, but that's not affecting. I think something is shifting in the realm of the Spirit, and we're going to begin to see all sorts of miraculous things happen as God is doing this thing. We're going to have a great year. Matter of fact, I told Brother Jerry, I said, Brother Jerry, the year isn't even over, and we are seeing the miraculous. And I told him about the Copeland ministry coming to town with us. I said, we could quit right now, guys, and we've had a better year than we've ever had. Last year, the last 2 years, we've had some miraculous. Well, listen, a church this size, you don't operate without a miraculous sustaining of the Spirit of God. And we're touching the world, we're going overseas, we're doing all sorts of things. And that has been a miraculous sustaining of the Spirit of God. But the last couple years, I mean, we did finally, and I told you, we've had a couple $100,000 offerings. I mean, that's amazing Sunday for us. Yeah. Huh? You guys? Well. So, you know, we've been declaring, and I, those of you who've prayed with me for years, David knows this. Jeanette knows this. You know, because we've prayed for years and years. We've called in thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. Part of that is because we have a baton, don't we? One is souls from every nation, one at a time. The other one is the end time finances. So when I hear stories of finances, especially with people that I'm connected to, I just simply say, Lord, I know that we've got a part of that. I know that a number of years ago, as David and I were having lunch, and we saw a man of God, and we entered. You know, I did. He used to be my pastor, and he began to tell me, "Oh, Mark, we just had a service. We had over 10,000 people," and I rejoiced because I just got back from Wales, and the Lord told us. He says, "You will have thousands and 10,000s in your streets." And I thought, you know, I at that point, I realized that wasn't just God speaking to me about us. He was speaking about what God wants to do here. So when that guy told me that, I wanted to go, yeah, and we've been believing for it, brother. But I didn't do that. Because they don't understand. See, people don't understand. They think, yeah, you guys, you don't have anything, and you're just a wannabe. Well, we're not a wannabe. We're running with the big boys. We know how to run with the big boys because Jesus is the big boy. We just run with him. It works. So Dr. Savelle said, And we've seen barriers broken before. They were talking about barrier breaking, and we've seen barriers broken before. We've seen car breakthroughs, or we've seen with our fellowship. We've seen it with houses. We've seen a number of those kinds of things. And the thing I'm excited about is the breakthrough we had with Riley. This is the most incredible breakthrough, guys, that we could ever have, because what's happening, just that anointing that Riley carried with him, I tell you what, Matthew caught it. Christina caught it. Izzy caught it. Sounds like Dwayne's caught it now. Yeah, see? Isn't this amazing? Well, you know what? If you didn't, so I didn't get it. Will Riley come back? You don't need to. That anointing's here on our folks here. Can you imagine? This has been 2 weeks. If we would just add up how many people you've led to Christ and plus Riley's ministry and our ministry in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks now, whatever it is. What's going to happen now? We've still got 8 months. Well, I just am thinking, well, before long, Just for Kicks band could be a Just for Jesus kick band. I mean, we get ready to do the gala. They're all liable to be saved playing your music. All right, so I'm not believing for an airplane, by the way. Well, it'd be nice. Uh, Well, there's enough. There is enough to go around. There is. Years ago, somebody called me on the phone and said, Mark, we were thinking about giving you an airplane, but we decided to give the airplane to a ministry that had wings in its name. Excuse me? Okay, praise the Lord. I had another brother once who, you know, he actually taught me how to fly, and someone was going to give him a plane, and he said, no, I told him to give it someplace else because, he said, because it was too little for me. I said, brother, this is the guy who taught me how to live by faith. Brother, haven't you ever heard of seed? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. What? So, okay, receive it, and then we'll give it away as seed. So at any rate, so I'm not, this story is not about seed, but Jerry was believing God for some things, and he told a story. It was a wonderful story, and I'm telling you this because they talked about breakthrough. They talked about barrier breakers, and and you'll know where this is going quickly, but he's been believing God for years for the $1 million check. And so he said one time he got $1 million check, and he told Joe to, you know, Joe's been here with us, you know that. And he said, Joe, go call the bank, see if this is good. And so the bank said, well, Mr. McCroskey, that family could write $1 million checks all day long, and we would honor them. But not from this guy. He's a little cuckoo. That's the one family member. And so Jerry was talking to somebody, and he said, the next week this guy wrote a 1 million peso check to somebody else. So, but he said he did. He got a call from a brother that had been through bankruptcies and troubles, and his dad had been wealthy, and they'd struggled, but they were making a comeback, and called him into the office, and he handed him an envelope. And so they talked, and he said, I was getting ready to leave, and the guy said, aren't you going to open it? Let me just give you a hint. For those of you who are believing for wages, because you just taught on that, if someone hands you a check, don't ever open it in front of them. If they give you a gift, don't go this, because you might go, wow, or you might go, oh, is that all? You want to be very gracious, and you want to thank them for the check. You want to thank, oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You know, and just put it in your pocket. And some wisdom. Okay. So this guy told Jerry to open it. Well, it was his $1 million check. And it was good, of course. And so Jerry said he came back and immediately called a staff meeting. And they got to see the check. Everybody got to hold it. But you know, friends, here's the point, and I want to make this clear to you. I'm not foolish in thinking this. But I do believe in partnership. And I do believe that. See, years ago when we partnered with Brother Jerry, we partnered with him because I knew I needed what he's got. Why do you think we've had so many trips to the Bible College of Wales? That wasn't in vain, David. Bonnie, it wasn't in vain to take you over there, and Danny, it wasn't. Karen, where's Karen? Karen back there. But that wasn't in vain. There was an impartation. I remember standing there at the gravestone of Reese House, you know, laying our hands on that gravestone. And he said, oh, come on, Mark. Listen, Elisha's bones raised somebody from the dead. Yes, that's right. We weren't being hokey pokey, goofy, loofy, whatever. We were recognizing, God, here is a man that you called who changed the course of the world through his intercessions and prayers. And Father, we're standing here ready and needful and mindful that it's you who could touch us, that we could do the same thing. We weren't doing anything silly or goofy. We recognized the power of God was on that man, that servant of the Most High. And we're simply saying, Father, if you would, here we are. So it's that kind of partnership. And so my statement to you is, I understand. It only takes one check. It only takes the anointing of God to move on one person, to give you one idea. Listen, all the great inventions have not yet been invented. And how wonderful I think my little iPhone is. And if you got an Android, that's fine. But there's something out there, guys, that's going to make both of those go the way of the dinosaur soon. Because it'll be something far better. Oh, hey, we were down there at this hotel in the coolest elevator. You came out and you came into the lobby and you said, I'm going to floor 10. And it would say, go to car A. And you'd walk over in front of car A, and it would open. You'd get in. It would take you to your floor. No buttons to push. It was the coolest thing. It was. And it was really fun after we knew the ropes. It's to see people come up and go, and they get inside, and there's no buttons. Then the guy in the lobby said to us, he said, what's scary is it's coming real soon. He said, it'll all be done with your smartphone. And he said, that's kind of scary. And I said, yeah, it is. Matter of fact, I just read this weekend. How many of you read it? It was the title called The Mark. You remember the name of the rest of it? They're talking about a chip. And they said, you know what? Today, everybody spends all the money to buy the finest and best phone so that the NSA can track you. And you pay for it. And they said, what's coming next is the chip they're going to put in, and all this will be in there, and you'll pay for it. Well, of course, we know we won't pay for it. But here it is, guys. They just put it down there, put it there, put it, put it. And then the elevator will just respond to you walking up to it. Amazing. Really amazing, guys. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that, guys, this is going to be a great year. And Dr. Zavell said, this is what I really appreciate. He said, we have walked. How many times have, you wouldn't know, but I have preached Haggai chapter 2, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. I don't want to be a New Testament church like my church told me. When I was growing up, well, we're a New Testament church. Where are the miracles? I remember asking that. Where are the miracles then? Oh, well, they passed away. You can't be a New Testament church then if there's no miracles. They didn't get that. They took everybody in Longmont, all the Pentecostals who were tithers, they took them happily. Oh, I'm sorry. And now they sort of believe in the gifts, if God wants to. Listen, the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former. You and I are in line to do greater works than Jesus. He said it, and I believe it. Am I seeing it yet? No, but I'm expecting it any moment now. That's why when we have a healing line, get up here. These hands are loaded. They've seen the blind healed. They've seen the whatever healed. And they'll heal you. Because Jesus said we could lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. Now, I'm believing. And we've been calling it in. Some of you, we've been calling and believing God. And sometimes it's hard to believe for $100. Sometimes it's hard to believe for $1,000. Sometimes it's hard to believe for $10,000. I understand. And every new faith challenge is a new faith challenge. I mean, if we got to believe in a couple passports. Don't we, Bob and Christina? We've had a little pastoral discussion with these two anyway, but now it's time for discussions to quit and for us to just believe God for these things to get through the mail. That's right. And the money to come. But every new challenge is a new challenge, isn't it? Yeah. And you'll meet it because you're an overcomer. Amen. That's right. We've seen it happen. She'll see it again. Huh. That's right. And she'll come back. You know, this is amazing. I remember when I took a group, and Bob was there, and David was there, and some of you were there. You two were there. The two guys aren't here today, but that's okay. Bless them, Lord, wherever they're at today. Well, we sang, and I preached. You know what we're sending this year? A bunch of evangelists. I'm so excited. I am so thrilled. You know what? Jack's not going to know what to do with us guys. You guys. Us guys. Could it start with us?
Yes.
In those little towns in northern Poland? I mean, I've always thought of Jack as the evangelist. You're going to hook up with an evangelist. You guys are going to have such a good time. Oh, it's going to be awesome. Okay, so as we close this thing down, I didn't even get to my notes. I apologize. I just was going to steal them from Jerry just like Terry did. But that's okay. You know, there's a million-dollar flow for us. Now I know some of you are going, yes, who do you think you are? Well, this church has seen the $100,000 flow.
Yeah.
I don't mean in a year. I mean in a week. We've sown our seed. How many of you are believing for a motorcycle? Good night. Karen says, oh, me too. So, okay, Karen, you're funny. We've sown our seed. We've put motorcycles into Nepal. I'm not talking about giving motorcycles to Chariots of Light. Praise God. We've done that as well. We've given money to their president to get his brand new gold, Screaming Eagle. We sowed seed to that. But you want, let's weigh seed, okay? Let's just weigh seed. And this is, praise God, I'm not, you know, I love Bill. Giving seed to his brand new Harley Screaming Eagle or sending motorcycles to pastors in Nepal. Yeah! Where's the weight there? I say we've been sowing seed for that. Now let's talk about buildings for a minute. I'm sorry. Years ago, I remember I emptied our building fund and sent it to Africa so Brother Jerry could build a church in Africa.
Amen.
There's a big church between here and Boulder. We emptied our savings again and we helped them build their building. We've been doing, guys, we've been doing this. Finally, I swore to the congregation I would never do that again unless I asked their permission. So, but I haven't come, and we still don't have a building fund. But I haven't gone back on my word. But guys, I just want to tell, we've been sowing seed.
Amen.
Been sowing seed, been sowing seed, been sowing seed, been sowing seed. Do you remember all of our 250 beautiful purple chairs?
Yes.
Thank God for, say thank you, Lord, for green chairs. Praise God. I hope your seat is not broken. We gave 250 brand new chairs away. Guys, that's seed. That's seed. Probably $25,000 or $30,000 worth of chairs. We gave it away happy. Happy, happy, happy. All right. There is a million-dollar flow coming. And the reason I'm saying that today and focusing on that is because Dr. Savelle had it happen March 1st this year. And what took him 45 years to believe for. And we've been believing for 38 years. Some of you, we've been praying and believing and calling that stuff in and believing and praying, just like with him. But I tell you what, he broke through. Guess what's coming? Barrier breaking. And I know some of you are going, I don't think that'll ever happen. Well, I tell you what, just keep your mouth shut and just agree with Mark and just say, I'm going to believe what Mark's believing. Why don't you stand, or I'm going to start round two. Is it 1 Chronicles 20:20?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm glad our walking concordance Don knew that. The word says this, believe the Lord and you'll be established. Believe his prophets and you'll prosper. So I just declare, I believe this is the year of the greater for us. My goodness, guys, if you're part of this church, how could you not believe that if you saw 50, 60, 70, 80 people get saved in the last 2 weeks? And if you've been here the last year, you'd say, man, wait, I don't think we saw it. Well, we didn't. I haven't ever seen a pastoring of a church, 70, 80 people come to Christ in a year. We saw it in 2-3 weeks. This is the year of the greater. Father, today our faith is not in a man. Our expectation is not upon a man. Unless, Father, it would be your Son, the Son of Man. And Lord, our hearts want to be so found pleasing him that he might be seen. And Father, I want to just thank you today. We believe the year of the greater is upon us. And Lord, we have stepped through. This, I'm not going to pray this. This is what Dr. Savelle said. He said, we have stepped into another room. He said, the body of Christ who will believe it and who will do it will have stepped into another room. I remember I've preached, we need another realm. Now here's the thing, guys, we got to believe it by faith. So Lord, we right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we believe at the word of the prophet, we've stepped through into another room, to another realm. And so, Father, help us bring our faith up. Help us fill ourselves with your word. And, Father, we want to thank you now for what's in store. Father, we want to thank you for the people that have been saved. We want to thank you for the healings that have happened. We want to thank you for the provisions that have come. We want to thank you for the homes and motorcycles, all the stuff that you've done for us up till this moment, for our families and for the people that we love. We want to celebrate what you've already done. And with that, we want to springboard into the future saying, Father, you're ready to wrap this thing up and we're going to be in the thick of it. We're going to be in the middle of it. And Father, might we be found with our hands on the plow laboring for Christ, that Father, we might be reaping where, Lord, for centuries even, people have been sowing, Father, into this nation, the church and has been preaching the gospel. And Lord, it seems that we've gone backwards. But Father, we believe it's time to reap. We believe this, the fields are wide unto harvest. And Father, we believe you and with an expectation that we're going to see not only people saved, but people discipled and planted in the house of the Lord. And Father, we thank you because we'll increase. We believe the church in Longmont will increase. And Father, because the church in Longmont will increase, we believe we'll increase. And so, Father, we're thankful for it. We thank you for the provision. I pray, Father, for laborers, for the harvest, for the wages to be released. Father, you told me years ago that if I'd be about my business, you'd be about my, if I was about your business, you'd be about my business. And so, Father, I thank you for releasing wages on this congregation as we go into the harvest fields and reap in the name of Jesus. Praise God. We thank you for it now, Father. This is the year of the greater. This is the year of the greater. Say that with me. This is the year of the greater. And I'm standing in my greater now. By faith, I can see it. By faith, I receive it. And by faith, I expect it. This is my year for the greater. Yeah, praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Well, may the Lord lift his face up upon you. May his strength and his life and his health and his power and his blessing and prosperity be on you. And unto him who's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be wisdom and power, dominion, might, both now and forever and ever, in Jesus' strong, mighty name. Go win someone to Christ this week. Praise the Lord.